Walls.
Widge, hey, it's Thor.
Thor, where the hell have you been? I'm late getting the podcast up because I promised the show promoters we'd have to check in from the location. You were supposed to call me last night.
The show didn't start until this afternoon. You said it was supposed to start Thursday night?
Yeah?
It started this afternoon.
Son of a bitch.
And the press pass was all screwed up, so I had to get that straightened out.
Okay, it's alright. Shit happens. Look, can we do the thing?
Yeah, that's fine. Can you hear me okay?
Well enough. Okay. Yeah. I'm already recording. Let's just go, okay?
Alright.
One sec. Hey there, this is Widget Walls for NeedCoffee.com's Weekend Justice here. I've got intrepid roving reporter Thor Valston-Smith on the line. Thor, what's up?
Just another bright sunny day here at Genghis Palooza, where the Time Stream's major conquerors have come together for a new world tour.
So who's on tap for this year's tour? I heard Boudica is headlining.
Boudica is indeed headlining, and the question is not who's on tap, but who's not on tap, Widge. Alexander the Great, Napoleon, El Cid are just a few. Sherman is the surprise guest for this stop of the tour.
It's a hell of a surprise guest, especially since you're calling me from Atlanta.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time he's surprised a few people down here.
I hear the tour hasn't been without its drama, right?
Well, you get this many world-beating egos in one place and sparks are always going to fly. Hannibal's on the second stage this year, for example. Not happy about it.
Now, I heard he blames that on Vin Diesel?
Well, yeah, if Diesel hadn't taken so long to get the movie off the ground, he'd be a household name, or so he says.
Did he see Riddick?
Well, he's not happy about that either. At the last stop on the tour, his elephants trampled a hacky sack vendor.
Yikes.
They said it was an accident.
Of course.
They even offered to let him trade out with William I when he leaves later this month to open for Dave Matthews, but he still wasn't happy.
Damn.
Yeah, well, these aren't exactly reasonable people. You should see their backstage writers.
I can imagine.
I hear Vlad the Impaler is about to take the stage, so a reunited NSYNC opened for him, and now he's going to do as he promised and open them up in return.
All right, well, I'll let you go. Thanks for checking in with us. That's Thor Valston-Smith, ladies and gentlemen, live from the fairgrounds at Genghis Palooza. Maybe we'll hear back from him later.
We've seen you, staggering out of the work week. But now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a NeedCoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
Watch out, my motor, swindle the promoter, took the lunatics for a ride. And a little voice inside my head said, Rosemary, baby, I got the time out. Suffering madness and the Pharaoh's plague. I cannot tell you some other day. No, thank you, that's enough for me. A little bit of riddle, it goes a long way. Ready to rock if you wanna roll. Please step away from the vehicle. Ragnarok, a revolutionist. Give me just a minute while I clarify.
Howdy folks, Widget Walls here, NeedCoffee.com podcast for Weekend Justice. It wasn't fair of me to blame Thor for our problems here, or my old friend Thor Valston-Smith taken out of mothballs from a long time back. No, it's just been one of those weeks, and we're still trying to play catch up because that's just how it goes when the day job virus comes after you and starts making you, you know, break out in hives and stuff. So, with no further ado or adieu, let's go ahead and knock this out for Weekend Justice. Got a couple things for you here. First up, of course, as you know, when we get into the weekends here, you need help with your recommendations for things to do with your time. So that's what we're here to do. And even though we're a little bit late, I'm fairly certain that you guys haven't probably gone through everything that we've recommended over the before we were doing, you know, weekend recommendations just before it became true justice. So we got so much stuff out there to choose from. I'm I'm not losing too much sleep. And you're getting all this for free. So who cares? So anyway, let's see. We've got some stuff for you here, like I said. First up, let's go to audiobooks with this from Harper Audio. It's Abundance. And as you know, not this weekend, but next weekend, we get one version of the Marie Antoinette story, a kind of, from what I can tell, well, you know, Sofia Coppola, right? So considering that she did Virgin Suicides, which is absolutely amazing, and that's a recommendation. If you haven't seen that, please, please do see that. And the book as well is damn good. And the soundtrack as well by Air. It's all good. Jesus Christ, that's just a great show. Anyway, so there's that. And then, of course, Lost in Translation, which again, you know, amazing performance from Bill Murray and Scarlett Johansson. Bill Murray won a Chazzy for it. And I think Scarlett Johansson won the Chazzy as well for that, because she won for that and Girl with the Pearl Earring, I think. Anyway, so there's that. Soundtrack again for Lost in Translation is amazing. So I have high hopes for Marie Antoinette. If it was from any other director, I would be kind of afraid. So that's coming next weekend. In the meantime, from Harper Audio, how timely, there is a Marie Antoinette novel, Abundance, which is by, and I'm probably butchering this name, so I apologize in advance, Sena Jeter Naslund. S-E-N-A-J-E-T-E-R-N-A-S-L-U-N-D. So I'm saying that is Sena Jeter Naslund. So it's probably, like I said, a total atrocity of how I say that. But basically, it is another fictionalized account of Marie Antoinette that basically goes into the background of why it was that she was able to get caught flat-footed and lose her head. And it is abridged, but the abridged version is 12 hours across 10 discs. So that will keep you busy for a little while, even in an abridged form. So going from France to L.A. to a detective story set in the 50s, we have Walter Mosley's Fear of the Dark, which is his third Fearless Jones novel, and it is here from Hatchet Audio in unabridged form over 6 CDs, read by Michael Boatman. And Michael Boatman, I'm very glad when, because I don't always know the names of these actors, and when they provide a picture on the back, it's very helpful because I can instantly see, yes, he has been on Law & Order as an attorney. How nice. So anyway, Mosley, for those of you who don't recognize the name, you will recognize the film Devil in a Blue Dress that had Don Cheadle and Denzel Washington. And the character Ease Rawlins was basically Mosley created the character, wrote the book that Devil in a Blue Dress was based on, and this is his new series. And basically it is about Fearless Jones and his friend Paris Minton, and Paris has a cousin who is in trouble, who then disappears, and apparently had been dabbling in a bit of blackmail, and so it's up to Fearless and Paris to find out if the guy is dead or what. So basically that is, for those of you who want a relatively quick listen for a detective book, nice, 7.5 hours over 6 discs, then you can pick this up, and it's nice and unabridged. We always like the unabridged stuff, don't we? And again, that's from Hatchet Audio. Now, a quick comic book mention, and this is Spawn, which is out of Image Comics, and I have to tell you, I haven't been a big fan of Spawn for a while, at least not as far as the comic itself goes. Sam and Twitch, which is the spinoff, is quite nice. The toys that McFarlane Toys puts out, we rave about those all day long, and as I know you've seen. Even the toys that they've done that are essentially, you know, movable statues based on covers of the Spawn comic book, they are quite sweet. But I haven't felt like the Spawn comic has known what it was doing for a while. And I think what they're trying to do with this, and this is issue 160, which has just come out a couple weeks ago. But basically, from what I can tell, it looks like they're trying to wrap up everything that's come before and take it into a new direction. And one of the things that always bugged me, and the idea that I really liked when McFarlane first introduced the character, was the idea that he had a finite amount of power. There was actually a counter that would come up in the book that said how much power he had left, and when the counter reached zero, he'd be done. And so in 160, the counter comes back, and it's racing towards zero. So I get a warm fuzzy feeling when somebody goes back and says, okay, here's a thread that's been dropped. Let's take care of this thread. So, you know, I wouldn't necessarily tell you to start picking up the book with 160 necessarily, unless you've been, you know, kind of following it off and on, because it's at the end of this long story that's been going on about Armageddon and different versions of Spawn and the world coming to an end and Satan and God being kids. And I don't even, you know, I barely understand it, and I've been following it. But it seems more coherent than it has been. And like I said, I'm happy the freaking Counter's back, because I thought that was one of the best things about the character, is that he was finite. You know, as many have pointed out, legends have endings. So, you know, even if it's a new Spawn that comes, you know, it's a completely different character, then that's something. So anyway, just if Spawn's your thing, then check it out with 160. You might be able to pick it up from there. But, you know, better than it has been. Improvement, which is always good. Okay, straddling the worlds between comics and prose, we have a Vampire Hunter D book. This is the fifth novel that is called The Stuff of Dreams. And it's written by, oh lord, please forgive me in advance, Hideyuki Kikuchi. I think that's right. I could be completely wrong. Of course, I do know how to say the name of the guy who did the illustrations for the cover and the six that are inside, and that's Yoshitaka Amano. And we love Amano, the Chazzy Award-winning Amano. But basically, this is a takes place in a town where the vampires and the humans have been able to live in relative harmony, and D, our hero, is drawn there by the fact that there is a young girl that's been sleeping ever since she's received the gift of immortality from the vampires. And so he's drawn to this girl, and people are a little, you know, concerned, because obviously if you have a balance of power and all of a sudden the power shifts, in this case towards the humans, because he is a vampire hunter, then you could have issues and the whole piece could be overthrown. But basically this is this comes out from Dark Horse Press with Digital Manga Publishing. And if you're fans of, and honestly, I did not know there was a novel series. I've been, you know, aware of the anime and Amano's work on it and all that stuff, but I did not know there was a series of prose novels. So for fans of Vampire Hunter D and Amano and such, you might want to check this out. And again, that's from Dark Horse Press and from Digital Manga Publishing. Okay, straddling the line between comics, in this case, and actual three-dimensional artwork, we have another thing from Dark Horse Press, which is the work of Steve, what is it with me and names? Kiwas, I think it is? Kiwas? I need pronunciation guides, please. K-I-W-U-S. Steve Kiwas and the 8-Ball Studios folks. It's called Babes, Beast, and Bronze Sculpture the Fantastic. And it's basically a book with all manner of artwork in various stages, and then the final products of a slew of products here that you've got. Basically, you've got statues based on the work of Frank Frazetta. You've got Matrix. You've got Vampirella. You've got... Did you know there were actually... I mean, you've seen the busts and stuff of Betty Page, right? Did you know there were Betty Page action figures? I had no idea, which is funny because we're going to talk Betty Page some more here in a minute. But Lord of the Rings, you've got various Marvel characters that he's done for Diamond Select. Just a bunch of different stuff. Now, the thing to bear in mind is, as I look at this, is some of the figures are in, you know, basically better than others as far as how they're set up. But, you know, for a couple of things. First of all, we can't all be McFarlane and basically have action figures that are set up to be the equivalent of, you know, basically what I said before, posable statues. And also you've got, you know, the various points of articulation that you have will affect how the figure is set up, and, you know, how well the they've got now, of course, where you can do the full body scan of people and get the faces to look just so. But I mean, if somebody's not willing to put that money into it, or you know, you can't get the exact rights, or there's any number of things that could go into this. But you can tell that these folks have talent, because, you know, some of the figures, like the Lord of the Rings, if I could talk, the Lord of the Rings action figures, kind of. The faces look all right, but they kind of look, I don't know, they kind of look a little off, but you look at some of the statues, and it's pretty damn good. So you've got all kinds of ranges of stuff in here. Like, for example, here's a Mystique from the movie that actually is quite nice. But anyway, so if you're into this sort of thing, if you're into three-dimensional work, or seeing the stuff and the concept art and the I guess you would say prototypes of what goes into making these statues and action figures, then you might want to pick this up from Dark Horse Press. Again, it's Babes, Beast, and Brawn, Sculpture of the Fantastic. And lastly, when we're talking books here, I want to bring up Heat by Bill Buford. This is from Knopf Publishing. And basically, this guy wrote a successful book and writes for The New Yorker, and apparently is quite good at what he does because he was able to basically say, okay, I want to go and find out what it means to be a real cook, a real honest-to-God cook, and went to Mario Batali. For those of you who don't know, he is the larger gentleman who is on Iron Chef USA or Iron Chef America, whatever it is they're calling it these days. I try to appeal. I try to give people hints, you know, so they can go, ah, yes, of course, because not everybody knows Mario Batali. Oh, yes, of course. So I try to help out people here. But anyway, so basically he goes and becomes, what he calls a slave in Mario Batali's kitchen and gets to go around all these places and learn how to, you know, make pasta by hand, and also while he's learning all of this, he's reflecting on food and what it means to us and as far as culture goes, and also talking about Batali and how Batali became a full-on cook. And so he just spends a great deal of time going to do this, which must be nice. Hey, I know, I'm going to be a cook, and I get to write it off because I get to make a book about it. What a fucking genius. Anyway, so that's Bill Buford, and the book is Heat. And actually, Bailey made me aware of this a while back. He had heard something on NPR or something where Buford was talking about his experience that led to the book. It sounds absolutely fascinating. So if you're the kind of guy or gal who, you know, for example, picks up Alton Brown cookbooks and is fascinated by what goes on with the science of cooking, here is, you know, what goes on inside the kitchens. You know, people who watch, you know, Hell's Kitchen or Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares or something like that. If you watch Food Network, if like Jim Gaffigan says that, you know, you watch Food Network and it's kind of like porn for you, then this is obviously your book and you should check it out. Again, that's Heat by Bill Buford, and that's out from Knopf. Okay, on the animation front, we've got Transformers Armada, which is the second half of Season 1, which is actually the whole series. The second half completes the series. Now, why they didn't just say the complete series Part 2, or Volume 2, I have no idea. But regardless, it is here. So basically, you've got 26 episodes here across 4 discs, and the only special feature is some interactive transformation animations and such. But Transformers completists are going to be pleased that the actual second half of the series has been released. So if you're a Transformers nut, you should definitely check this out for your weekend fun. And that's out from Rhino, of course. So from Genion, we've got a massive box set here for the complete... Well, it's the Collector's Edition complete box set of The Melody of Oblivion. And The Melody of Oblivion is not, as you might suspect, the musical equivalent of the Ultimate Nullifier, which, of course, is Mariah Carey. So it's not that at all. Instead, basically, you've got set in the future, naturally, and there was a war in the 20th century between humans and monsters, and the monsters basically handed us our asses, and they pretty much run things behind the scenes, and in order to keep them happy, the humans do whatever the monsters want so that they'll leave them alone. And I think it would be cool if the monsters were like the monsters from Sesame Street gone evil, but they're not, okay? I'll just throw that out there. But basically, you've got a character by the name of Boca, and I believe that's how it's pronounced, B-O-C-C-A. And he is a, you know, poor student and is looking at basically having to, you know, lose everything by not passing out of school onto the next thing when he runs into a monster attack and learns that there's something special about himself and that there is this thing called the Melody of Oblivion that if found, if harnessed, you know, if controlled, if they could figure out what the hell it was, would enable them to basically help humanity recover their rightful place and beat back the monsters. So hence Road Trip and Hijinks Ensue. Now this is a massive box set with all 6 volumes, okay, in one nifty box. And basically, you've got 24 episodes here, which is roughly 10 hours worth of goodness. Bonus bits are clean animation, opening and closing animation. So if you're a fan of the series, you're going to want to snag this if you haven't already gotten the individual volumes as they were released by Genion. But now is your chance to catch up. and because it's the complete series here in one set, massive set, could stop a bullet. Anyway, that's from Jenny on The Melody of Oblivion. Next, on the comedy side of things, from Murata Vision, we've got the second collector's edition of Soupy Sales, and this is in living black and white, and it's some of his live black and white television episodes. And if you're, and everyone knows the name Soupy Sales, but if you're not familiar with why you know the name, then you definitely need to pick up this or the first collector's edition so that you can see some of his stuff and appreciate it for what it is. And, you know, I think that the best thing about humor like this is that it is really timeless. One of the most refreshing things about the Gonzo Film Fest was the You Bet Your Life outtakes with Groucho Marx. And at first, when Ken talked about putting those in there, I was like, I don't know, because, you know, you never know how your audience is going to react to something. But perennially, people really enjoyed watching Groucho, because Groucho is a funny bastard. It doesn't matter when, you know, how old, you know, well, it does matter how old you are, so you're going to understand it. But, you know, of any age, you understand that the man is funny, and it's the humor is timeless. So that's kind of what you're dealing with Soupy Sales here, with some choice bits from his television show in the 60s. So be sure to pick this up from Murata Vision and get some television education under your belt. Next up for your DVD pick, we've got Gloomy Sunday, which is from Warner Brothers. And this is a German film, subtitled in English. And it's basically a Jewish guy who owns a restaurant, and the pianist that he hires to play in his restaurant both fall in love with a waitress who works there. And kind of everything's all right and manageable until another guy falls in love with this waitress, so she's got to be something special. But anyway, so, oh yeah, and did I mention this was Budapest at the outset of World War II, and that guy number four was a Nazi? Oh yeah. As you can imagine, two's company, three's a crowd. If you can make three's company, then four is definitely going to be a crowd. So, and of course, you can see from the title and the fact that the song itself invokes some suicides, then it's a happy movie. But worth checking out if you need a DVD. It's a foreign film, a little different, off the beaten path, and something that you're not going to see in your local Cineplex, which, honestly, we all need more of. And that's Gloomy Sunday from Warner Brothers. Also, speaking of foreign films, we have Uniform, which is from China, and this is a release from First Run Features. And basically, it's this guy who's kind of trying to make ends meet. He's a tailor, and he works and can't seem to pay the bills. But he comes across he has this brilliant idea. There is this basically a cop's uniform that is left in the shop that no one comes to claim. So he claims it and poses as a cop, and is thus able to extort money from folks and also find a girl. Because, you know, hey, chicks dig the uniform, right? So basically that's Uniform from First Run Features. Definitely worth checking out. Kind of funny and kind of an interesting look at the things that we do to basically improvise and survive. So very interesting stuff from First Run Features. It comes with a director's interview. The director himself gives an introduction and a photo gallery. So there you go. Now, if you recall, I said we were going to come back to Betty Page, and we are. This is Betty Page, Dark Angel. This is your kind of erotica pick for this weekend. And this is from Cult Epics, and it's basically a two-disc limited edition with a massive amount of information about Betty Page. And even if you don't know, you're like, Betty Page, why does that name ring a bell? Which it should. Probably the most famous erotic model of all time. But basically, if you look at the cover art or just, you know, look at any pictures of her, you'll instantly go, oh, yes, of course, because everyone knows what Betty Page looks like. You just can't help yourself. And basically, you've got the film itself, Betty Page Dark Angel, comes on the first disc. You've got behind-the-scenes stuff, photo gallery, and trailers. And then there is a disc two, which is How to Pose Nude by Bunny Yeager, who took the photos of Betty Page back in the day. So you've got an interview with Paige Richards, who plays Betty, and photo gallery, and bonus stuff. So basically, Paige Richards is the actress who is playing Betty Page in the videos, that basically the recreations of the famous bondage videos that Betty Page did, because they don't exist anymore, because the government, of course, at the time was as it still is now, hell-bent on making us be moral people, define moral, however the hell you feel like it. And so as a result, the films were destroyed. And it's only because a few of the photos were saved, you know, some of the material was saved, that anybody knows that this stuff exists. And so it became hugely famous. But anyway, so if you know Betty Page and want to know more, or you don't know Betty Page and you would like to learn about this, because if you're into anything having to do with erotic, I don't know how you wouldn't know who Betty Page was, erotic photography or anything like that. Betty Page Dark Angel is, an excellent pick from Cult Epics. So I'm glad they sent this over. So we've got a pair of these stunt comedy bits for you. And you're going to see these coming out of the woodwork now that Jackass Part 2 has done so well at the box office, as we've been discussing in the Widget Goes Off podcast on more than one occasion. But basically, you've got, first up, let's talk about the Dudesons, their movie, which is out from Destroy Entertainment. They call themselves Extreme Stunt Comedy. And basically, they... From what they say, they predate Jackass for going around acting like jackasses and basically performing stunts that could injure themselves, and sometimes they do get injured, and they run around with a pet pig. So, you know, it's cute. But basically, I mean, these are the guys who do just crazy shit in order to make you laugh. As you can tell from the cover, where dude's belly is peppered with throwing darts. So, you've got a couple of guest stars from Jackass here in the movie. It also comes with 20 minutes of bonus stunts. You've got commentary with the guys, their visit to the Viva La Bam show, and more. So, if Jackass is your thing, then you're going to want to pick up the Dudesons, because these guys look fucking crazy. Now, on the other side of things, you've also got Adrenaline Crew, and this is their second one. It's called Adrenaline Crew 2 Awaiting Trial, the unrated version. And this is also from Destroy Entertainment, and this is filed under Street Bike Antics. And basically, whereas the Dudesons and the Jackass guys beat themselves up, these guys beat their vehicles up. They beat their motorcycles up, they beat vehicles up, they wreck shit, they set shit on fire. Pretty much, you know, lots of illegal stuff, hence the awaiting trial and the promise of, you know, legal action being taken place here on the back. So between the two of these releases, you should have plenty of crazy shit to watch for your weekend, if that's your deal. So, you know, kind of like a cross, I guess, between... It's kind of like, you know, these guys watched Megaforce when they were kids and thought that the bikes were really cool as shit and are pissed that their bikes won't do the shit that the Megaforce bikes will, so they're just trying it anyway. So that's basically what I think of when I look at this. So between the Dudesons and Adrenaline Crew, both of which are from Destroy Entertainment, you've got a lot of carnage to watch for your weekend. So check it out. And last but not least, we've got a television pick for you from Buena Vista Entertainment and Touchstone Television. Of course, the second season of Lost, the extended experience. And to me, Lost is fascinating because it's basically the show that everyone is trying to emulate. All of the invasion and the surface and the stuff like that was their attempt to be kind of weird sci-fi-esque stuff like Lost. And, you know, if you look at Heroes is basically trying to be Lost. You can tell just because the, you know, if you recall the original Lost promo photos were of this gigantic cast, you know, standing around looking in various directions, right? Looking up, looking to the side, looking wherever. And Heroes has got the characters from that show in the same freaking pose. So anyway, this comes with 8 hours of bonus bits, as we may have mentioned when this hit in the heads up. But you've got new flashbacks with new secrets that are available. You've got character connections. There's secrets from the Hatch featurette. There's also a bunch of different mysteries, theories, conspiracies, and whatnot, of course, because everyone has theirs. Set tours and an episode that basically takes you through the conceiving of it all the way through execution, deleted scenes, and a shitload more. Like I said, 8 hours of bonus content. The total running time of this whole thing is 1,056 minutes. So this will keep you nice and busy. So if you want to see the show that everyone is trying to ape, then you should grab Lost Season 2. Well, obviously you should grab Season 1 first, but make sure you grab this one next so that you can catch up and be watching the third season that's on now. So anyway, that is from Buena Vista Entertainment. And that is it. That is your Weekend Justice for this weekend. Again, I apologize for it being late. I hope you're able to get through your Friday at least without too much trauma. But anyway, we'll be back on track for next week as we'll be hopefully rolling out some new features for the Weekend Justice. We'll see if we can't get them done along with everything else that's going on. Good God. So anyway, if you have suggestions, if you have feedback, obviously, please give us a ping. Give me a ping at widgesucks@needcoffee.com. Let me know what you think. All input is appreciated. As always, if you are a filmmaker who has an independent film, if you are a musician that has your own music, your books, whatever, I am interested in checking them out. I will tell you up front that I am absolutely fucking swamped, so there's no telling when I might be able to feature them. But if I like them, I will feature them. And if I don't, then you won't hear about it on the site because I don't want to injure your chances of getting any sales any more than I would want somebody to do that to me. Although, you know, at this point, I would like just feedback on my books for something. So anyway, there is that. And if you have music and stuff, if you have music, if you have audiobooks, if you're sending me stuff, go ahead and answer the question because I will ask, can I use your stuff on the show? Because I would like to be able to play some songs and stuff for you to listen to as you're driving in because, you know, I can't stand to hear my own voice, so I can only imagine the trauma that you're undergoing by having to hear me just drone on and on and on with nothing else to break up my voice. So anyway, that's it. Thanks for joining us. I'll also say thanks again, as always, to the band Clutch for letting me use their song Promoter of Earthbound Causes for my theme. And I would urge you to go out and pick up that album Blast Tyrant and basically throw them your coin because they have kicked ass for years and years and years. So anyway, thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you soon when we catch up with these Heads Up podcasts, and then we'll start catching up on all the other shit we're behind on. So thanks a lot. Have a great weekend. Talk to you soon. Bye.